y'all. This is She Buys It with Whitney Nicely.
Yay! Hello, hello, hello. Welcome back to the She Buys It podcast. Y'all are going to have so much fun hearing this conversation. Terry and I have been chit-chatting, and she is a phenomenal real estate investor who's been at it for about 13 years. And now she teaches women how they can get involved in the stock market so they can travel the world. Y'all, she just told me that she's back from South Africa and planning on going to Bali. And she can do this because she's got her passive income set up. Y'all, this is going to be amazing. Terry's joining us from Texas. She's got a house in Chicago and a place in Texas. We're going to hear all about it. Terry, did I miss anything?
No, you got it. This is wonderful. Thanks so much for having me.
Absolutely. This is going to be awesome. So let's start with your first deal. And I'm completely obsessed with how it happened, how it came about, what you did, what you've learned. Because I believe after you get that first deal done, all the other deals, they follow in line. But you really have to get that first deal under your belt before you can move on to the next one. So you've had it for a while, and you're about to celebrate something huge. But tell us how you found it. Tell us about the beginning, and just kind of walk us all the way through the process on this house.
Yes. So my house experience with the first house was actually really interesting, because what I did is, it was during the time of the Olympics, if you can imagine, like way back in the day, Chicago was supposed to get the Olympics, and we were putting up a bid. Yes.
What year?
I think that was like 2007 or 2008. It's been a long time now.
Oh, wow. But that's during the recession too. So you're bidding on properties during the crash.
Actually, it was right before the recession.
Oh, gosh.
I know. So my story is so crazy with this property, because it was right before the recession. We were about to like have the election. I mean, not the election, but the Olympics. So I'm thinking that, oh my God, like this is the best time to buy. I went on to MLS and just found the cheapest condo in the area where the Olympics was supposed to come. And I remember like my realtor was like, you know, there's better things out there. But I was like, no, this is the cheapest one available right now. So I went in, got it, and then did like a lot of rehab to it. And
Wait. You say you got it. Did you get creative financing on it? Or did you put 20% down and go with the bank? Or you used a loan and lived in it? Or how'd you get it?
Creative financing. So I did buyer's program. And so when I did my closing, I actually got money back.
So it was a first time home buyer's program. And that is awesome. Do they require you to move into it?
Yes. So I lived there for the first year and then moved out and got renters.
I love it. I absolutely love that plan. And so many people don't even think about that. You got money back at closing just for buying it?
I sure did. And it was a good check too. It was like $3,000.
I love that. They're paying people to buy properties, or they were. I think they're still doing that though, aren't they?
There are still some programs out there. They're not as many as there used to be, but there are still some programs out there for first-time home buyers.
Okay, awesome. Cool. Okay, so you got it.
Yes.
Then what happened?
Then I had to rehab it. And so in order to rehab it, I actually, and this is something that I think not as many people think about, but I actually used credit cards, because you know how you can do a line of credit? So I used some credit cards to do the rehab, and they were 0% interest for the first year. So did the rehab, and then later was able to like pay it back and pay myself back. But that's how I did the rehab.
I love that, because people say, well, I don't have any money. Yeah, you have access to money. You don't need to have it stacked up in your bank or under the mattress. You need access to it.
Right, exactly. And that's in any kind of investing. When you have like a line of credit or somehow have access to the bank's money, you can do quite a bit with that money, especially if you get it at a low interest rate.
For sure. And 0% on credit cards? I mean, it just doesn't hardly get any lower than that.
And now they're giving you even more time. I was looking at one credit card. It was like a year and a half at 0%. That's amazing.
And that gives you plenty of time to rehab the property and then refinance it with a regular 30-year loan at a fixed interest rate. Like, come on, ladies, quit with the excuses.
If you get renters and you do have some cash flow, just prioritize paying yourself back first. So all those first rental checks go towards the credit card, so that when you do start having an interest on it, the balance is low. So Yeah, there's totally tons of ways to get your money back.
Awesome. So you rehabbed it, you lived in it for a year, and then you started renting it. How did you find your first tenant? Or were they friends of yours? Or did the Olympics show up? Like, what happened with the Olympics?
Man, no. So actually, we did not get the Olympics, which was a bummer because I had found a place in like one of those, like it needed to be redeveloped. So I had like a liquor store underneath me. I thought all that would go away when we got the Olympics. No, it didn't. So for like the first 10 years, we had a liquor store underneath me. So yeah, one tip, be careful of that. Like if you're hoping for the neighborhood to come up and it never comes up, just be sure that you're still going to be okay with your property. But
did you buy the liquor store or you had the condo on top?
It's a condo on top, which to tell you the truth though, funny thing, there was like always some people outside the liquor store and they started being my security. Like they were there all the time anyway. So they would tell me when people were coming, they were like, you know what? So-and-so stopped by, they dropped a package off. Like, thank you so much. They started looking out for me like I was their little sister. Which is also nice. Like you can't be afraid of difficult neighborhoods because there's also good people there too. So yeah. Yep. But what else happened? So right after that was also the recession. So after that, some people, it was a condo and there was a condo right near me that sold for like $7,000. So yes, can you believe it? So like right after that, my property value definitely went down, but I had a renter, so it was okay. I was breaking even, getting a little bit of cash flow, but during my journey, the property value went down and it actually has not totally returned.
How did you find that renter? And you were living there, so did you move to Texas or what happened?
So I actually left when I got a new job. So I moved to go to my new job and then I found the renter on Craigslist first. So I found one on Craigslist, but then also they were Section 8. So I ended up becoming a Section 8 landlord and that was actually awesome. Like,
tell me about that. I haven't talked to anybody in Section 8 in a while. Tell me how Section 8 works and tell me, you know, why you decided to go that route.
Sure. So the first step when you find someone Section 8 is you have to find the tenant first. And I think some people don't know that. They think they have to go to the city first, but you actually find the tenant first. And a lot of times Section 8 tenants are looking on Craigslist. So that's a good place to go. Once you find the tenant, they'll have papers that say how much they can pay for a unit. So you as a landlord have to decide if you're willing to accept that amount from that tenant. And then you guys will do the papers and submit it to the city. And if the city approves you, they'll come out to your property. So that's like the next piece. They'll come out, do an inspection, make sure that it qualifies. And if all of that goes well, then you now have a tenant that you're getting paid by the city to have that tenant there. So it's like consistent cash flow. You know that your check will come on time. And I actually liked from Section 8 that they come on a regular basis, like once a year to check the property. So that's like something that you don't have to worry about. You know that the tenant knows and you know that someone will come and make sure your property's still good.
So I hear a lot of people that don't want to get into Section 8 because they don't want somebody in their house inspecting them and telling them what needs to be fixed. And from the landlord perspective, they're saying, well, the tenant broke it. Or it was like that last year when you were here and you didn't make me fix it. And so you actually enjoyed those yearly inspections because it was a good safety for you and the tenant.
I did. It's a good reason and excuse to go into the property. Like, and most of the time I would pick good people. So remember, you have to do the first screening of the tenant. So I would pick people that would take care of my property that I felt like, okay, this is a mom and her daughter. They're going to treat this property like it's mine. And so now, like, if the people come in and say, oh, this light bulb is out, or, you know, you need to paint this wall, I'm totally fine with that because I needed to do that anyway.
You got to have expenses, right? Right. It's all good. I love your mindset about it because it's so easy to say, no, I don't want to do this and I don't want to do that. And I don't want people in checking in and I just want my tenants to pay and I never want to think about it again. And honestly, in landlording, there is some work.
Right. And you know, no matter what, you want to keep your property up. So if you never do anything to it, the property will go down anyway. So
yeah, even if you were living there,
right,
it would go downhill after a while.
Right. right. So you want to repaint the wall. You want to make sure that all the outlets are working. You want to make sure your appliances are working. Those are things you do for yourself. So why not do it for your tenant?
Yeah. And I love that you're helping women. And I love that perspective. And a lot of times the women on Section 8, in my experience, are going through a rough patch, or life has hit them upside the head sometimes. And they're just trying to make it the best they can. And they're good people. They just need a little bit of a help. Exactly. And that's why we become real estate investors, is to help people. And as real estate investors, all we do is problem solve. This is just a different problem that we can solve.
Exactly. Exactly. And you get a tenant that's a little longer term, because a lot of times, especially if they have a child, they'll put them into the school system near you, and then they'll want to keep them in that school. So like, I have a tenant now who, you know, she's renewed her lease 2 times because she wants her kid to stay in the same high school. So like,
and that's good, because your whole yearly cash flow could die if you're out an extra month or two in between tenants.
Exactly.
If you can keep them and they're happy and they pay and everything's good, I say let it roll.
And if you're on Section 8, one cool thing, it depends by state, so this might be, or in city, so this might be a little different, but in Chicago, if you prove to be a really great landlord, they sometimes have these specialty programs. Well, they will pay your monthly rent when you have to switch tenants. So like, they'll pay like 1 or 2 months of the rent until you get a new Section 8 tenant, which is really cool.
That is amazing. I did not know that. So the tenants are racking up points to make sure that they're good tenants, but the landlords are racking up points too to make sure they're good landlords. I love that. That's a great win-win situation.
Exactly.
I love it. So have you had that same lady there the whole time?
No, I've had about 3 different ladies over the 13 years, but most of them did longer leases. So it's been really good. And then they were also really patient with me, because it's a Section 8 type of thing. I think that if something did break, they were more patient, because they knew that they didn't want to go through the hassle of finding a new person and then getting the city to approve. So I've just had some really great tenants.
That's awesome. But you're in Texas and you're running a job. How do you manage a property in Chicago from Texas?
I've done management companies. So if I have any issues, then I have a management company. Right now, actually, have been managing it with, like, one of my cousins is in Chicago. And this tenant is so low-key. Like, she rarely needs anything. I have a couple contractors on speed dial for if something does break down. And then my cousin, if anything's needed. But I think it all starts with just getting good tenants.
It really does. And I believe it works with it, – it's good to find good people, but you have to train them on what to expect from you. If you live next door and you could just run over every 5 minutes, then they're going to train you to run over every 5 minutes. But if you live in Texas and you train them that, hey, I got to make a couple phone calls. Hey, I got a job. I'll call you after 6. Hey, whatever. Then they don't expect to be just right there anytime they need something. I think training tenants is a thing too.
And what you can also train them on is train them on how to handle small things themselves, and then just ask you for a reimbursement, because that's been good too. I've had a couple times where she said, hey, you know, this thing was broken in the bathroom. I fixed it. Here's the bill. And she knows, like, you know, it's a training thing, of course. Like, she knows what I'll accept and what I don't. She knows that I'm like a cheapskate, so it can't be too expensive. but like, she also has taken care of several things on her own, which is, like you said, a piece of training. You got to let the tenant know how you want to be treated and interact with them.
And I'm okay with that too. I do a lot of lease options, and I tell the people, like, if you want to paint it, paint it. It's your house. I want you to be comfortable. I want you to love this. I want this to be home for you, not just a place where you're at for a couple years.
Exactly.
Take care of it. Love it. If you want a new towel rack, then go get one, but I'm not paying for that.
Yes. Make it your own. Do whatever you want. Make it nice. And then stay forever. That's what you want. Yeah.
Just don't take down any walls. Awesome. So tell me about the place you got when you got to Texas.
Sure. So when I came to Texas, I've actually been, so now I travel a lot. And we know that, like, I've created some passive income through stocks and other investments as well. So now I can travel a lot. So the place that I got was a really cute townhome here in Dallas, but one where I knew the rent was low enough that if I wanted to leave, I could Airbnb it. So that's been my strategy here in Dallas. More like, can I afford to Airbnb this place so that I can be on the road?
Awesome. And being on the road is you living your best life. You don't want to be stuck somewhere, feel like you can't leave, right?
Exactly. I want to be able, like, I've gone to South Africa, as you mentioned yesterday, or yesterday. As you mentioned, I've gone to South Africa next week. I don't know what's up with my dates. I'm hoping to go to Bali for the month. But yeah, like I trade and travel. That's my thing now. I trade stocks and travel all over the world. So I need properties that I don't have to think about. And with Airbnb, as soon as the client comes in, you get paid like the very next day. And then like they usually take care of the place. I have a cleaning lady that comes in after them. Airbnb takes care of the calendar. Like you get some type of key on the door where they can easily get themselves in. It's like very low maintenance.
I've found that when I travel and use Airbnb, I love it when there's just a keypad. I can let myself in. Nobody's waiting up for me or meet me at the property. Like, I don't need you to show me where the kitchen is. I'll find it. Don't worry. You know, I'll see the towels out on the bed. You don't have to show me that. Like, just tell me where the Wi-Fi password is and leave me alone.
Right, exactly. And they come and they go and they have a great time. Yes, that's been a great passive income as well.
Yep, I love it. So that pays for you to travel, but still have roots when you get home.
Yes, it does. And it pays really well. Like I was skeptical of it. And some of the people on the podcast may be skeptical, but actually it's really nice. I haven't had any tenants that have messed my place up. A lot of times I'll come home and it's better than when I left it. They leave food in the refrigerator, so that's nice. You get free food.
Yeah.
It's the little things, right?
And we live in a different kind of world and you got to have a different kind of mindset to be able to accept that and love it. And, you know, you and I have the same kind of mindset of, if it makes money, let's do it. If I can travel and live my best life, let's do it. Like, let's figure out how to really live instead of chasing all these bills and chasing all these deals and chasing all this stuff and hustling. I want to have fun. I want to spend a month in Bali and a month in South Africa. And I told you, I travel our country a lot, but I'm kind of a gypsy. Like, who knows where I'm going to be? I'm going to get on a Delta and be out of here and then come home.
And that's a blessing. Like, just the ability to have that. Like, I spent 10 years working in education and it was sometimes flexible, but when you're in a school building, you got to be at the school every day. You got to see the students, see the staff. Like, you don't have that ability to just get up and go. But now with all these like passive income investing options, like, I can be anywhere, work from anywhere, as long as I have my cell phone, like, we're good to go.
I love that, because I think so many women want that. So what was going on that you decided, let me see how I can leave this school business? What were you doing? You were managing teachers or something?
Yeah, I was an assistant principal of an elementary school. Mm-hmm. And I did most of the operations, so I was the one who got the lunches for all the students, made sure that the building was clean in terms of like managing janitorial staff. But yep, I was an assistant principal of an elementary school.
Awesome. And then what happened? What was the moment you said, I need passive income, I'm not coming back to this place?
Man, okay. So I was at, So I don't want to say this to be negative, but I think anybody who's worked at a school knows that sometimes it can be a bit much and overwhelming. And a lot of times it's not even the students, it's just the administration and all the like things that you have to get done. So I was super stressed out. I was so stressed out. I was depressed. I was overeating. I was at a place where like, this can't be what the rest of my life looks like. And then on top of that, yes. And then on top of that, one of my best friends passed away. And he was young, he was like 32 years old. So then it was like, oh no, like life is too short to be in this job that I hate. So I needed to find a way to replace my income. I just needed $300 a day to replace my income. And so that's when I actually turned to investing in the stock market, because if I could just make $300 a day, then I could quit the job and start traveling, which is what I really wanted to do. And that's how I got into stocks. And then I just added that to my real estate, and that, the rest is history. Now I trade and travel all the time and teach people how to do that.
I love that. That gave me chills when you were talking about that. And then your friend, I'm so sorry to hear about that. But sometimes that like shock to your system reminds you that we're all only here for a certain amount of time and we got to make the best of it. And if you're stuck in this building and you can't stand it anymore,
yeah,
and we got to make a change.
You do. And what really was the turning point for me was I had a dream and I had passed away, and I got a chance to talk to my mom and grandmother. But the thing I regretted the most was I didn't get to see the rest of the world. So it was like the one thing that I was like, man, if something happened to me today, what would I regret? I would regret not seeing the rest of the world. And when I realized that, then I knew I needed to make a shift so that I could do that while I'm still alive. Like, what are those things that if something were to happen to you, you would miss out on it? You still want to go for that now. Like, there's no reason why you shouldn't go for those things right now.
Man, I had chills again when you're saying that. Now I got to feel like I got to redo my vision board to make sure I'm really living my best life. Holy smokes. That is some powerful stuff. And I think everybody gets to that point, you know, whether you're a teacher, you're in the schools, or whether you're even a surgeon or whatever you're doing, you got to look at it and say, is this really it? Is this all I'm going to do for now until forever? Or am I missing out on my dreams in order to make somebody else happy sometimes?
Yes. And I think that's why it's so important that even while you're at that job, that you start learning these skill sets and building up this passive income so that when you do want to leave, you have an exit strategy.
I love that you started in real estate too, because I started in real estate. I started buying houses while I was working four different jobs. And so when I was ready to kind of step out, I had something to step to instead of just having to hustle to eat.
Exactly. It's nice to have a little padding there. And some people don't realize how important it is to have a nest egg. While you're working, build up that cash flow, but then you can start using that cash for other things. Use it to buy homes, use it to invest in stocks. Like, that's what you can do while you're still working. But make sure that you're learning new skills now before you leave.
I just went to a seminar last week and I'm going to see Tony Robbins next week. And Tony was the first person that introduced me to the 6 human needs. And the 5th human need isn't an actual need. It's more like I forget what they call it, not a philosophical need or something, but the 5th need is growth. You need to be growing. If you're not growing, you're dying. A plant, if you look at a plant, if it's not growing, it is dying. And, you know, part of plants is sometimes they die to come back, you know, but they're always growing. They're always changing. A tree, it just keeps growing. It grows out. It gets fuller. It does different things. The vegetables, they're always growing. You shoot off a new root, but people get to a certain age, especially women, when we get so busy with jobs and husbands and kids and moms and church and all these things, we forget to grow, but we have a human need. And it doesn't matter who you are. You have the need to keep learning and growing. And growing into real estate, growing into stocks, then it comes back in a financial way, which helps you do more of everything else. Exactly. And when you have a bigger financial tree, then you can contribute more, which is the 6th human need. And contribute could be with money, but it could be with time. I love horses and dogs. When I make enough money, then I can go volunteer at a dog shelter. I can go to a horse rescue. I can pay for a veteran to go ride horses, or, you know, there's so many ways you can contribute, but you got to fulfill all your needs.
Yes. That giving piece too is just so powerful. Like, this year I was able to give a 6-figure check to my church.
That's got to be life-changing just in itself. Like, writing that check and saying, here, help people find Jesus.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Like, first of all, it was so fun to actually go to the bank and ask for the check. They were like, wait, what? You want how much? And I was like, yes, I want, it was $100,000. I'm like, I want a $100,000 check. Please make it out to Concord Church. And they were, and the guy at the teller is just like, he's looking down at the slip and he's like, is she for real? And then he shows the girl next to him. He's like,
because how often do people come in and say, yeah, give me a hundy. I'm going to go give it to my church.
Yes. Yes. And I think that moment for him, I think, will change his life forever. Like, one, he'll see the importance of, like, okay, you know, if he is a believer, I think he'll be reinforced that tithing is real, that people really are giving back. I think if he's not a believer, it'll show him that, well, there's something different about this church thing. Like, and I just think, like, I'm so excited about all the impact we're going to be able to have with that check. Like, I talked to my pastor, and he's like, yeah, we have these ministries that we've been doing, and we're doing some things outside of the church to go and reach the, you know, the one. And so it's really cool. So that giving piece that you talked about is absolutely amazing.
And everybody has that need to give. And it could be financial. It could be time. It could be, you know, you could buy them a truck to use to do stuff. You could buy them a bus so they could go pick up other people. Like, there's so many ways you can contribute to good people and good causes. And, you know, let's also remember that 10% is the minimum, not the maximum. All right. You can tithe, but you cannot outgive God. Whatever you tithe is coming back so many times over. Give it to him.
Yes. He has so, like, I think people forget how big God is. Like, he has so many riches in heaven. Like, there is no limit to God. And I also think we sometimes cap our dreams. We're like, you know, this is good enough for now. I won't ask for anything more. Oh my gosh, our God is so big and so amazing. Just have big dreams. Like, he can fulfill them. He's God. He made the world.
He did. He did. Like, it was nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And we're stressed out over all sorts of crazy little things. I love that. Congratulations. That is my dream, is to be able to give my church $100,000.
Isn't that cool? Like, that was a blessing. I think I'm thankful that the Lord even allowed me to have that opportunity.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, God, like, you're doing something big in the world. Like, in my life, definitely. Like, last year was such a big year for me. Between just, like, my business with the trading jumped, my business teaching people jumped, real estate was good. Just, it was a great year. And I know that it was all from the Lord. And I think for me, it was one of those things, like you said, like, your needs are now taken care of. So now you can serve out of the overflow. And so now I'm very much able to just, hey, let me just give.
That is so awesome. I'll tell you, one of the coolest gives that I've ever done, I went to church in January. It was the first Sunday in January, and it was cold in the sanctuary, and everybody had on their jackets, and I was like, what is going on? And I didn't make it to Sunday school, so I hadn't heard the gossip, but the pastor got up and said, well, you may have noticed that we're a little chilly this morning, and it's because the heat went out, and we're going to have to figure out tomorrow on Monday, you know, where this money is going to come from or who we can find to patch it, or, you know, we're just seeing what we can make happen. And I had my checkbook, and I wrote him a check for $3,000 right there. And by the end of the service, you know, I got him, guy's attention, got him come over. I said, how much would a new AC be, or a new heat and air unit be? He said, well, we quoted it at $6,000. And I said, I'll just give you the whole six then.
Hey, that's so awesome.
Just boom, right there on a Sunday, they had a need and I had the money. Just give them a heater. It's cold in here. It's January.
And see, those are the kind of things. So, like, so at Investitary, we have this goal this year. We're trying to teach 1,000 people to make $1,000 a day. But that's $1 million a day that they'll be making and generating. And so, and then we're like, well, what impact could we have with that? Those are the type of things that I love. Like, provide heat. There are a lot of people who are freezing. Just provide heat. And we could do, like, what could you do with $1 million a day? Provide clean water. Like, there's just, like, these small things that people don't think about, but what impact could you have if you're actually generating that income? I love that you were able to just give them a check to solve for that. That's amazing.
Yep. And we have a school, and all I could think of is the kids going to school Monday morning and cold, or we'd have to shut down the school for the day, week, because you can't have kids at school with no heater, and we're a private Christian school. So it's not like we can ask the county to come fix our stuff. Like, we got to fix this from inside. And I think that's how we fix a lot of things in the church, in our homes, in our communities. We fix it from inside.
Yep. Yep. And, you know, even to think about real estate, like, one of my students, she's a stock student, but one of my students, she was able to generate enough to help someone stay in her home. And she was able to, like, pay the mortgage for that 1 month. And it's those type of things, like, just being able to, like, solve, someone is about to lose their house. How can I help them? Like, there's just, oh, I love that. And you're right. Kids can't learn when it's cold. So you just helped. You helped so many more things than you even know.
But that's what it's about. I never told anybody that I did it. You're probably the first person that I told, except my bookkeeper. I told her. But I've never actually told anybody that because I didn't do it.
For that. Right. For recognition. You did it for your love of the Lord and your love of people. I love that.
Yeah, that had to be in 2017, 3 years ago.
Wow, you kept that a secret for 3 years?
Now that I'm thinking about it, yeah. And I mean, I'm sure some people probably knew, but I go to a church where, you know, we just don't, nobody's in my business like that. So I've never said that. I sponsor the church's school. I sponsor the golf tournament every year so that everything's paid for. So any other money they bring in is profit. So I do the whole kit and caboodle for that. And everybody knows that I sponsor that. But otherwise, everything else I give is just above and beyond that because I want to help. That's how I contribute. They're doing a good job over there. Actually, that church, I'm not going to cry. I've been so emotional lately. That church saved my life when I was going through a bad time. And out of nowhere, they reached out and said, hey, we got some extra land. Can you sell it for us? And it was when I was getting my auctioneer's license. And I said, okay, fine, let's see. And I'm okay. I am not going to cry. I might cry.
It's okay to cry.
I said, you know, I'm going to go check out this church to make sure before I sign up to work with them that I can actually see their vision and see what they got going on and make sure that I feel like I want to be associated with these people. You know, I mean, I'm in East Tennessee. They could be snake handlers for all I know. But I went and I fell in love with the people and the church body and the pastor and the song leader and the whole thing, you know, and I was happy to sell that land for them. But it was a time where I really needed God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I really needed a church. I really needed some roots. And they gave me all of it through real estate.
Yeah.
They said, come sell our land. And that was how I ended up there. And
you know, there's a scripture in Acts, and it talks about how everybody was okay because people sold their land. Have you ever seen that?
No!
It's in Acts, and it talks about how, they were growing, the church body was growing, but that everyone was taken care of because people sold their land. And if I find it, I will find that scripture for you, but that was definitely one of my, like, anchor scriptures for a while of, like, you know, this is supporting God's vision, like this investing in real estate and even stocks, like all this is supporting God's work. And like now we can find more people like you. Like now you're going to help find more people like you. Like this is amazing.
My favorite scripture right now, when I started, it was Matthew 17:20, which is the mustard seed. If you have the faith of a mustard seed, you can make this mountain move. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I got it framed. I just brought it back in. It's over there. I haven't hung it back up on the wall yet, but I've had that since the very beginning when I started real estate investing. People would say, you're not going to be an investor. Women can't invest. You've got church camp mentality. You're never going to make it. The sellers aren't going to work with you. You won't make any money. You're going to lose everything, blah, blah, blah. And I just kept saying, you know what? I got at least this much faith. And if I can just hold on to this little bit, I'm going to make this real estate happen, and I'm going to make it happen in a big mountain way.
And you did it.
I love it. And, you know, then She Buys It is named for Proverbs 31:16. So everybody I know wants to be a Proverbs 31 woman. Like that's the woman in the community that's really got it together. She's a businesswoman. She's taking care of her family. She's taking care of her girls. She's taking care of her husband. Like she is taking care of her business. She ain't got no time for anything else. Right. But 16 says she goes to inspect a field and she buys it. With her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She didn't ask for anybody's permission to go buy that land. She went out, she knew what she was doing, she bought it. She had her money, she bought it. And then she planted generational wealth for her kids and her grandkids, which is what we're all wanting to do. It's to be able to pass all this along and set up good habits and a good track record and a good name in the community and all that stuff.
Yep.
And I love it. So now, you know, She Buys It is totally based off Proverbs 31:16.
I absolutely love that. I did not know that was the story behind it.
Yep. Yep. I love it. Yep.
And you're so right. Like, yes. Like, it's it's almost, it to me, when people are like, oh, I want to be a Proverb 31 woman, like, we do think of all those other things, like how you take care of everybody else. But, like, that piece right there is, like, actually, like, being part of, like, being a godly woman is also being very good with your money and looking for those opportunities to build wealth for your family.
Absolutely.
And real estate can definitely be a part of that. Like, I love that for real.
One thing that real estate's allowed me to do, too, is it's the verse before or after, and it says, you know, she always has something for her girls to do. So my team is all girls. It's all women. I'm hiring moms. I'm hiring women. I'm hiring people that, you know, have a lot of different things going on, but they're good at something. And I stand behind that, like, completely and 100%, because we're in such a male-dominated world that, you know, I had to fight and claw my way to here. Well, I want to give a hand to somebody to bring them up to me. And, you know, my closest girls on the team don't even like real estate, but everything that we do flows in and out of real estate.
Yes. Yes. I love that. I love we're able to give people jobs, because I've also built a team now. And so, like, I have three people that are, like, full-time, but then there's lots of contractors. But I love the fact that we're able to pour into other businesses. Like, that's what small business is meant to be. Like, we are the ones providing jobs for other people and serving. Like, now we're feeding their families, and their families are able to go and do things. So it's really awesome.
I love what you said earlier, too, going back to the stocks, if we can for a second. You said it takes $300 a day. And I love that, because I teach the girls in First Little Done Fast, the women in First Little Done Fast. We're the flock, by the way. It's pink flamingos, the FDDF flock. I teach them $300 a month. One house at $300 a month. If you do one deal a month, that's going to be $3,600 a year. And a lot of them, that would either replace or almost replace their income from teaching, from, you know, working as an assistant, whatever it was. Like, $3,600 a month would pay most all of their bills, but it would give them that cushion to get out. $300 a day, though.
Yeah. that's been my big, like, light bulb moment for investing in stocks versus investing in real estate. Like, in real estate, we put our money in, but it's a more longer term investment, because, yes, you can see weekly cash flow or monthly cash flow, but you have to kind of wait for the tenant to pay you. You have some expenses going in. But in investing in stocks, you keep all of that money. So instead of doing, like, a down payment in the house, all of that money stays in your account, but then you're able to use that money to generate regular income. And then I teach my students, they're trying to make 1% of their cash amount a day. So even if you were just trading $2,000, you're making $20 a day. That's $100 extra a week. That's good money. That's $400 a month. You could pay off a car with that, even with a small amount of money in there. So, you know, just thinking through how you can start building wealth and building money just by making your money grow.
And if you took $400 a month, if you put half of that plus whatever else in every month, you would get some instant gratification that you got an extra $200 a month, but you would still get that long term of investing more. And then next month you get a split of $600, you get a split of $1,000. And so you can see it happen a lot faster. And I think one thing that I see in real estate that drives me slightly crazy is people don't see the long game. They want to just talk about wholesaling. They just want to talk about fixing and flipping. They just want to see how fast we can do this. And, you know, my program is called First Deal Done Fast, but it's not that I just want you to make money fast. I want you to get the confidence that you can do this fast. But I teach lease options, because I want you to get a $10,000 move-in deposit, but I want you to get $300 a month. If you make $10,000 and add on $300 a month, by the end of the year, we've done like $150,000.
Yep, that's good.
But it's not just gone. We built up that $3,600 a month, and then we can have that to invest in the stocks, to invest in our real passion business, to invest in our church, to invest in whatever else we want to, because we've got the confidence in the system and the rhythm to do it now.
I think that's, like, what you just said there is, like, we were able to have money from real estate and then use that to invest in stocks, I think that's key. It's just good to diversify. And we hear a lot of times people say diversify and they're thinking more like, oh, I want you to buy a lot more houses, or, you know, oh, I want you to, you know, in your 401k, get several different types of things. But actually, like, you can get houses and then use some of that cash to actually invest in stocks and then have that cash flow going, then use that cash to do something else. Like, it's good to have several different systems working for you that make money.
And I think systems working for you that make you money, not you out working to make money, but systems to bring you money, because it's a business. And let's talk about this. Having a hobby is one thing and it can be cute, but having a business, it takes systems and it takes processes, and it makes you check your emotions at the door and just read the numbers and just read the graphs and the stuff that's available at your fingertips to make the right choice.
Yes. Like, I often talk about having a trading plan when we're investing in stocks, because you've got to take the emotion out of it. Like, in any investing, really, you've got to take the emotions out. Like, even if you were doing a real estate deal, you need to look at your numbers, look to see if this actually makes sense. You might love the house, but after you do all your rehab, you're going to be outpriced the market. So you can't do that one. Same thing with stocks. Like, we have a 7-step strategy. You got to pick the right stocks. You got to have risk management in place. You're looking at charts. You're looking at how are you exiting the trade. Like, that allows you to be able to trade without emotion. So you definitely have to have systems. I tell people that all the time. So it is so true.
And, you know, it's hard as women, because we are heart-centered and we're, you know, heart-driven a lot of the time. And it's hard for me to check my emotions. I mean, I almost cried 10 minutes ago just getting emotional. Like, it just happens. But that's part of what makes me a woman and makes me beautiful, too, is that I am so emotional over certain things, you know. But at business,
yeah.
I need you to, yes, use your heart, yes, love on people, but don't leave your brain at home.
Exactly. This is where it's important to have a checklist. You need to be able to have some kind of checklist with anything you're doing in business that says, okay, these are the things that I'm going to do every time I make this deal, whether it's a real estate deal or a stock deal, this is the steps. And that's got to include in there somewhere where you're checking your risk. Because there's always going to be a downside as well. You can't be just super rosy and think it's always going to be great, because every business has a part where, you know, if something goes wrong, do I have the money to fix that? You know? So,
yep. Yeah. I heard a phrase this weekend, and I heard it from a guy, and then some other guy said he never heard it, and then somebody else said they had heard it. But anyway, it was cash now, cash flow, and cash later. And I thought it was a beautiful way to look at business. Like, cash now. Yes, I want to make money now. I want that $400 a month that I can spend on whatever. But I also want that cash flow. So even, you know, rent checks coming in, mailbox money coming in, direct deposits coming in, dividends coming in, and, you know, other things coming in, cash flow, but cash later. What's the growth look like? What's the turn? How much am I willing to risk a rise and a fall?
Yeah. Yeah.
And risk is a word that we got to use in real estate and in the stocks. We are risking real money, but also real time, real energy. It's a risk, but, you know, Taco Bell's a risk too.
You know, like, one lady told me, she was like, I don't want to invest in stocks because it takes too much work. And I was like, going to a minimum wage job and working 60 hours takes too much work.
For, like, 40 years.
Right. Like, that's a lot of work too. Now you just got to figure out what kind of work do you want to do.
And then, I believe there's a place for everybody in real estate, but sometimes your place is to be the tenant. And I'm okay with that, because I need tenants.
Yeah, that's true. That's the work you want to do. Because some people, like, you have different skill sets. And I do think that with real estate, sometimes people don't understand that there's also a lot of extra stuff that you didn't really sign up for. Like, you will have to be on the phone sometimes. You will have to be searching for new clients or searching for new deals. There is a lot of paperwork. But at the same time, like, what reward are you looking for? Every job is going to come with some type of backing.
Yeah. And what job are you going to get that's going to give you a month-long vacation to go kick it in South Africa and Bali?
Yeah, that's trading.
I love that. I love that. So, okay, we've talked about a lot of stuff. One thing I hinted to earlier, though, and you haven't mentioned this, your house in Chicago, you're about to have a big celebration.
Yes, yes. I have been working to pay it off. So I am about to be debt-free completely. I have like two more payments and I am done.
I am so excited. I'm like freaking out for you. Like that is so huge. That is absolutely amazing. And you told us earlier that you bought it. It was the cheapest one you could find, but you bought it at the top and then it did a little bit of a roller coaster on you, but you held it. You waited for it. And now you've got a property free and clear. So when that check comes in from Section 8, it's all yours. It's all in HIP National Bank.
Yes. And to tell you the truth, like I was so upset because I looked at my amortization and I had been paying for like 12 years and only paid off $20,000 of the mortgage because everything was going towards interest. And I'm like, no, after 12 years, I've paid at least $120,000, but only 20 of it's gone towards principal. So this year I just started chunking everything I could at it. I was like, I got to get rid of this payment. So yeah, I'm excited.
I'm so proud of you. Congratulations. That is absolutely amazing. And that's just got to make you feel like you've lost 10 pounds instantly just to get that off of you.
Oh yes, it has. I had a home equity line of credit and my mortgage. So I just finished the home equity line of credit and now I'm almost done with the mortgage. It's just like, oh.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
No payment coming out of my bank account. Like, what am I going to do with that money?
Stocks. You know what you're going to do with that money.
But you know what? I travel a lot too. I might just upgrade to a luxury place next time and, you know, spend a little extra on some massages and trips and excursions. That's probably what I'll do.
Hey, absolutely. I mean, celebrate it. Women don't celebrate enough. You know, we celebrate birthdays until we're 16 and then we celebrate weddings, but we always got a little bit of a chip on our shoulder at weddings. And, you know, we just don't celebrate. We just don't party. We don't just, you know, freaking relax and turn the phone off for an afternoon and just do whatever we want because you've earned it. That is awesome. Absolutely. Congratulations. That is fantastic.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yes. I'm going to be celebrating with you over a glass of water, but I'm going to be celebrating with you.
So I think you're right though. As women, sometimes we don't give ourselves permission. Like we are always on this like go, go, go. And we don't give ourselves permission to just have fun or take a break or like even with me, I've been trying to do more like self-care with my job. Like because we can work from anywhere, sometimes you work all the time. But it's like, no, I have real office hours from 8 to 5. After that, I give myself permission to watch as much TV as I want. Like and not feel bad about myself.
Or go to the park or get a ticket to the theater or go to dinner or freaking enjoy my life.
Yes. Yes.
And have an extra scoop of ice cream every once in a while just because you want it and it tastes good and it's good. You know, stay a little extra longer at the spa and actually use that little guest room that they stick you in that everybody's in where the, you know, pretzels and water are. Like, just chill. You don't have anywhere to go. Just relax. No. Take a nap. It's good. That's what you're supposed to do while you're there is unwind. Another thing that women do, and I am totally guilty of this, and I'm gonna assume you are too. I hit a goal and I'm like, boom, next goal. Let's do this.
Yes, I do that too. I've got to stop. I'm trying to commit to stopping, as you can see, trying to commit. But you're so right. Like we never really stop and celebrate. It's like, okay, well, that was great. Now what? No, celebrate. Like, okay, I'm going to tell you this and it's going to sound really crazy. But for me, this was a big deal. So like I've been trying to get towards 6 figures in a day in my trading account.
Awesome.
And, oh my God. Like I can't wait to have that. So in South Africa, I actually had a day where it was $83,000 in a day. Yes. But then do you know what I did? I said, oh, that's okay. It's not 6 figures. So it's not big enough. And I just kind of like washed it off. We need to stop that. I checked myself when I did that. I'm like, no, Terry, that's not okay. Like, this is like my mom makes about $35,000 a year. I'm like, you just made 2 years worth of her salary and you just dismissed it like it wasn't anything. Like
that's in a trading day, which isn't even a full day.
Yep, in a trading day.
And you were only $3,000 away from $1 million. $86,000 a month will hit a million. You did it in a day. You could literally work 2 days and make $1 million a year.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, it would. You just did that.
You're right. I did. I'm going to keep that. Because you know what? My natural tendency is to be like, oh, it's not that big. Whatever. It's fine. But you're right. I did. Thank you.
You absolutely did. A lady that I was with last week said, I said something. I got up and gave a speech. And I give speeches. Like, I'm a speaker. That's what I do. I bombed this speech. And it was in front of other speakers. Like, I felt so bad. I thought I was going to crawl under the table. And I told her that. And she was like, girl, be your best friend. Would you tell your best friend you bombed? You should just, like, cut off your life right now. Which is basically what I said to myself. And she was like, you would not say that to anybody else. Do not say that to yourself. No, you are your best friend. If you wouldn't say it to another human being, don't you dare say it to yourself.
And you know what? You probably did a good job.
I was shaking like a leaf. I was a mess, but I needed to get that bad run out of me. Or who knows who I would have said it in front of. Oh, no, it really was bad. Like, worst I've done in a long, long time.
Did anybody else say something? Were they like, oh, that was good, and you still think it's bad? Or no, it was just bad.
It was like our third day of this event. I knew everybody in the room. When I got up the first 5 minutes of class and gave a speech, it was better than what I did on the third day. I don't know what happened to me. I completely tanked. And everybody knew it. You know, they were all there for it, so.
Right? It's over now. That's what I've been telling myself lately. I'm like, you know what? You did it. That was what you came to do, and you did it. Okay, it's over. Let's go to the next one.
Exactly. And it was something new. It was a new speech that I was trying out. The speech I gave on the first day, I've been practicing that thing for 3 years. You know, I could say that in my sleep. This was a brand new thing, and we just learned 3 days worth of stuff, so I was trying to put it all together, and I just need to practice. And that's what I think a lot of new investors miss, is they think they just need to come out making $86,000 a day or $83,000 a day. And if not, then they're nothing. Right. But you've been working at this a long time to get to $83,000 a day, and you're going to hit $100,000 a day. You just need a little bit more practice. You need a couple more $83,000 days, a couple more, you know, different tests. You got to try something new. You got to be willing to be a beginner. And you know, what you did as a beginner isn't what you do now, but what you're going to do when you're hitting $100,000 and $120,000 a day isn't what you're doing now, but you have to grow into her.
Yes, exactly. Cause like you were saying before, like when I was first quitting my job, it was $300 a day. I've grown to this. It's not like it was always like this. And I think some people, they see other folks and they're like, oh, well, I just immediately want to get to where you are. And they think it's like this get rich quick scheme. It's like, no, this takes diligence, practice, patience, crying. You're going to have some days where you cry.
Crying in the kitchen floor. I've been there crying in the shower. I've been just a hot wreck where I couldn't even talk to anybody all day. I was just such a mess.
Right. But it takes those days because you learn from them.
You build character crying in the kitchen floor.
My big thing, when I was back in as a principal, we would cry in the bathroom. So like the bathroom is like my quiet place. if I'm in there for a long time, I may not be doing anything. I may just be sitting on top of the toilet, like just crying, you know?
And that's fine. You know, I got on a call with one of the ladies that I coach, and she was just boo-hoo. And she was like, I'm sorry. I'm crying in front of her. I'm sorry. And I'm like, girl, we're women. We have to cry. Like, let it out. I'm fine. I'm a joint crier. I will cry with you here in a minute. Or I said, remember, it's just like farting. You got to let it out or you're going to explode. So let it out.
True.
I don't care.
She's like, better out than in.
That's right. So, well, Terry, you've been an awesome guest today. Thank you so much for spending time with us. If you could give any advice to women who are getting started in real estate specifically, what would you tell them?
I would tell them to just be patient, because it's not going to come easy when you first start, especially if you're like a real estate agent. I was a real estate agent for a while and then became a managing broker. Yeah.
Me too.
A lot of work. Getting your client is not going to be as easy as you think, but just keep pushing at it because they will eventually start coming. And when it rains, it pours. All of a sudden, you start getting all this business. So just keep working at it would be my advice.
Awesome. And if they're getting into stocks, how can they get in touch with you or what should they do to get started in stocks?
Sure. The best place to go would be itradeandtravel.com. I have a webinar there. It's a free webinar. It shows you how I make $1,000 a day. And it's itradeandtravel.com. Best way to reach me.
Awesome. All right. Fantastic. Well, y'all, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast. Subscribe to the YouTube channel if you're watching that. If you're watching this on YouTube, check us all out. I've got a free gift for you. Also, go to getyourfirstdeal.com and I will send you a free gift to your email inbox. And don't forget to check us out next week. And we'll see you then. Bye, y'all.
Thank you.
Absolutely.